mama wore that must be. Hey, everybody. Hey, welcome to the second edition of New World Out of Order. Listen, this one's going to be on 9/11, specifically World Trade Center Building Number 7. We're going to break up the 9/11 podcast into a few. It's a large subject. And before we get started here, though, what we'd like to do is send out a few thanks. I've got a couple of people that I've met on some social networks. And the first one is Otto Hooper out of Cleveland. And Otto really provided us some incentive and some help on software selection and hardware and stuff to just get us started on a podcast. Otto has a podcast that him and his friends do, and it's called Apartment 1518. That's APT1518. You can find it on iTunes and also on Stitcher. And along with Otto, there is Horn Dog Chavo and Heather the Masculine Beaver. That's and like I said, just joking with you guys. I really enjoy listening to your podcast. I really do. So, and thanks for all the help. And also, somebody else who helped us out here on some of our writing on the website is another person we met on the social networks, and that's Kelly P. Off the West Coast. And Kelly, I do appreciate everything that you did here. Please continue if you like. As like I say, my wording is not very, very well. Yours is much, much better, and we really do appreciate the work. So, all right, guys, glad you tuned in. And listen, I'm going to get back to this music here. What you're listening to is a song from a group called Iron and Wine. It's from their album, Around the Well, and the name of the song is Lost Vigilantes.
When I walked through the door, my wife, she laid upon the floor, and with tears her eyes did soar, I did not know why. Then I looked into her, I saw the telegram, said that I was a brave, brave man, but that I was dead. I want to see my family, my wife and child waiting for me. I've got to go home, I've been so long, you see. I want to see my family, my wife and child waiting for me. I've got to go home, I've been so long, you see.
Okay, hey, I hope you enjoyed that song. It's a great little song there. Hey, listen, this podcast, we have a visitor recording with us, Charlie. Charlie is, of course, aware of 9/11. He was somewhat aware of World Trade Center Building 7. He's aware that people have questioned some events, but he really hasn't looked into it, so he's not sure exactly about what some of the suspicions are or questions are, so... Charlie's going to ask us some questions, and he's agreed to allow me to respond, and we'll take it from there. So let Charlie go ahead and kick it off with his first question.
Have there been any attempts to damage or blow up Building 7?
No, not until 9/11. Not like World Trade Center Buildings 1 and 2. They were attempted to blow it up. See, that was back in 1993, I believe. But up Building 7 was been pretty much unheard of.
Until, I never heard of it.
But like I say, it was a 47-story steel-structured high-rise that most people didn't hear of. It came down that day, which makes it the third steel-columned building in history to ever fall completely as a result of fire, the other two being World Trade Centers 1 and 2. That was the official story, is that Building 7 fell because of fire that was caused by debris that hit the building during the collapse of Trade Centers 1 and 2. Now, there were fires in that building. They were not substantial. You can see by videos, post some videos here on the bottom of the page. But they weren't substantial, and listening to all the experts, primarily from the architects and engineers for 9/11, website, they have done substantial test and analysis on Building 7, the collapse of Building 7. And Building 7 fell at free fall speed. The primary video that they used to analyze it, you can see the majority of the building. You can't see the bottom so many floors because it's obstructed by other buildings that are in front of it. When that building falls, you can time it. So they time the collapse of that building, and it falls at free fall speed, which means that there was no resistance.
Yeah.
So now you've got these incredibly strong, massive steel columns holding this building up. So if it falls at free fall speed, it means that those columns somehow did not offer any resistance, which the only way they can do that is if they are somehow damaged. In other words, if that building would have fell because of fires, let me just state this, the building fell straight down. Reference the video. The building fell straight down and it fell within its own footprint. If that building would have fell because of damage as a result of the fires, and the fires were primarily at one end of the building would have fell, or where it would have started to fall, so it would have fell at an angle. And the steel columns would not, even if they were heated to where they were weakened, it's already a fact that those fires were caused by just the burning of like general office, you know, interiors, general office materials and stuff. You know, the carpets, drapes, you know, the desk and things like that. And there's no way that those fires could have ever reached the temperature to melt steel. But let's just assume that they did reach the temperature to where it softened the steel, it weakened the steel. Well, as you can imagine, what those columns would have done would have listed. They would have leaned over. As one part of the building started falling, the other columns would have pulled over at an angle just a little bit. They would not have fell. And there again, this is not me saying this. It's, you know, architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. This is what they say. These are the experts. These are the people that design these buildings. These are the people that design these buildings, specifically World Trade Centers 1 and 2, to withstand a direct hit from a Boeing 707. And that's what those buildings were designed to withstand. A lot of people just think, well, these buildings are just built to hold up itself and whatever you put inside. Well, no, they're not. As the higher that you go, wind effect. And the wind effect on the building, a 50-mile-an-hour wind on the World Trade Centers is much more force on those buildings than the impact of either one of those two jetliners. And there again, that's stated on Architects and Engineers from 9/11 Truth.
Well, I watched television of the building on the day they fell, but I don't remember seeing little video shots of Building 7.
Well, that's right. They did show a couple, but it didn't receive a lot of coverage. You know, what is more puzzling, and should raise some people's curiosity, is that BBC reported that Building 7 had collapsed. They reported the Building 7 collapsing 20 minutes before it collapsed. In fact, in the video, you can see the reporter reporting the story about Building 7 collapsing, and Building 7 is in the background standing. So that's got to raise some suspicion of, how did they know? How were they able to put together a story about a building collapsing when it hadn't? So that's a good point. There wasn't a lot of coverage, and the coverage they did have is suspect.
Well, I don't remember seeing that in any news media. Did the same people own all these buildings, or were the different owners of the building?
Yeah, that's a good point. Larry Silverstein and his company, they had just purchased the lease for the whole World Trade Center complex approximately 9 months before the 9/11 attack. Well, what's also suspicious is that he also purchased a specific insurance policy on World Trade Center buildings 1 and 2 that would cover him, you know, in the event of a terrorist attack where the terrorists would attack the buildings by planes. So he bought a specific insurance policy to protect against that. That's a little suspicious. And then Larry Silverstein as well. Another video on the page, which a lot of people might have seen. If you haven't, this you just have to see this. And this is the one where you have to apply common sense. Larry Silverstein is interviewed on 9/11. They ask him about Building 7, and he said that the fire chief had talked to him and told him that the fires were, they weren't going to be able to control the fires in Building 7. So Larry Silverstein said, well, there's been such a terrible loss of life today, and he said they just decided to pull it. That should raise some awareness right there and some curiosity. You know, what you really need to do is go look into it. Is that even possible? For one thing, you need to investigate the intensity of those fires, the location of those fires, to see if that actually makes sense. There's also a report, a response from the fire chief. He never had a conversation with Larry Silverstein. That never took place. So Larry Silverstein was aware that part of a decision that was made to pull that building, which means to drop the building. He said that decision was made with the fire chief. Fire chief does deny it. We do know, according to Larry Silverstein's own words, that he was part of a decision that was made to drop that building. So what that leads into is a 47-story steel-framed high-rise. How do you just drop this building on a couple of hours' notice? Is it possible? You know, the demolition industry, what they do, would come into this a building like this. They would study the plans, the design plans for this building. They would walk down the building with the drawings and make any updates on any construction deviances that might have occurred during the erection of the building, because they need to make sure they understand the, you know, specifically the low points of the building. Once they do that, they're confident they understand that. Of course, they'll design a demolition plan. Once that is designed, and of course, that demolition plan on a building this size, especially when it's in such close proximity to other buildings, large buildings that cannot be damaged, development of that demolition plan takes some time. According to demolition crew experts, you know, a building like that would take 3 to 4 months to prepare for. And once they have the demolition plan, of course, they would have to mobilize to the site, install the explosives, the safety devices, the controls. In their own words, it would take 3 to 4 months. So here we have Larry Silverstein admits that they decide to pull the building, to drop the building. And if you watch the video agrees 100% with what he's saying, that that building was dropped on purpose because it fell straight down. It fell free fall speed, and it fell within its own footprint. That's the only way that could happen is controlled demolition. And there again, don't take my word for this. Take a look at the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, their website. They have great analysis on this. So the question was, can this be done? Can they make a decision to drop this building and actually drop the building within a matter of a few hours? No, it's impossible. It can't be done. Well, there definitely was a decision made to drop the building. You know, that's not in question at all. If you look at the analysis, talk to the experts, the building was dropped by controlled demolition. That's not in question. So what that leaves is, how did they pull this off? Well, it had to take some preparations and rigging of that building in advance. It had to be well in advance. How did they do that? We don't know. That's why the request for the independent investigation, and that's what all the professional websites for 9/11 Truth, that's all they're asking for, is a independent investigation so they can understand exactly what happened and who was involved. Because another thing I can tell you too is that myself and all of these websites of professionals, such as Pilots for 9/11 Truth, Military Officers for 9/11 Truth, Law Enforcement Officers for 9/11 Truth, and so on, what they're asking for is an independent investigation. We are all in 100% agreement with, you know, the speech that George Bush made that day. You know, we will not forget. Any terrorist that was involved in this, or harbors any of the terrorists that perpetrated this event, they will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, and that's what we understand. He also said that they would, you know, whether the terrorists were foreign or local, we agree 100% with that. And I think that, you know, we owe it to the victims of the 9/11 attacks you know, to look into this, to find out who really did it, and bring them to justice.
What has been the attitude of insurance companies towards how these buildings were destroyed?
That was a good question. Larry Silverstein has received payment. He had to go to court, though. The reason that he went to court was that the insurance companies, after a lot of negotiating, were only willing to pay for one terrorist event, because that's what happened. It was the terrorist event on 9/11. Larry Silverstein took the insurance companies to court, fighting that there was actually two terrorist events, since there was two planes and two buildings hit. After a fairly lengthy trial, Larry Silverstein won. He actually won a double payoff. Larry Silverstein collected $5.6 billion off that double reward.
Did they pay off on Building 7?
Building 7, as far as I know, they did, yeah. I don't believe it was even contested at all. So a lot of surprising things out there that, you know, it's just a matter of, like I say, using common sense. It's a matter of not being afraid. Drop your fear for looking into this. Now, a lot of people have fears of the truth. You know, nobody wants to find out that our government or somebody within our own country could have possibly been responsible for this. That's not a comfortable feeling. It isn't. If it's the truth, it's the truth. Another fear is that, this was probably one of the most prevalent fears, is that people don't want to be associated with conspiracy theorists. And there again, you know, this is not a conspiracy. The conspiracy theory here is that the 9/11 events happened the way that the media portrayed it. That's the theory, because there's just too much, you know, evidence, indisputable evidence, that it didn't happen the way that they reported it. So, but you know, that's one of the biggest fears, is people do not want to be associated with, or they're afraid of being ridiculed by their friends for perhaps questioning 9/11. At the same time, their friends most likely are feeling the same way, that they kind of want to question it. They kind of, you know, want to look into it a little bit, but they're afraid of how their friends are going to react and stuff. So, you know, bottom line is, people just have to get rid of those fears.
All right, I think this is a good time for a break, and this is going to be another little comedy sketch from our buddy Willie P. Richardson, and this one's called House Cleaner.
Hello?
Who's speaking, please?
Who are you calling?
I was trying to reach a Mrs. Thompson.
Well, this is she. Who's calling, please?
My name is Willie P. Richardson. I'm the owner of Richardson's House Cleaning Service.
I wouldn't be interested.
That ain't what I heard.
Excuse me?
One of your neighbors, I can't give you a name, told me I ought to call you. Said y'all had the, well, I hate to say this, said you had the filthiest house in the whole neighborhood.
Who told you that?
Like I said, I can't tell you who told me, but they stays in your neighborhood, these people do. And they said that you kept some old stinking dogs inside your house, and the place was just awful, flies all around everywhere and everything.
Listen, I don't know who told you that, but it's not true, and you've got the wrong number.
No, ma'am, ain't your name Lucille Thompson at 4486 Slater Street?
Yes, it is, but my house is clean, and I don't appreciate this.
Well, I wasn't going to tell you this, but several of your neighbors has complained about your dirty house and yard, and they all going in together to pay for our deluxe cleaning job. What we do is bring about 7-8 people over and go through your house from one end to the other. We go through the closets, cabinets, everything. If we see some stuff you ain't using, we just hauls it off to the dump, or we gives it away to the needy. All you got to do is just go somewhere else for the day, and we'll take care of everything. Would tomorrow be all right? We could be there real early.
Sir, do not come to my house. I don't need your help or anybody else's help.
That ain't what I heard.
Well, you heard wrong. I want the name of the person who called you about me.
I ain't gonna give it to you. They were just trying to help you and to make the neighborhood a little bit better. Said you had old cars out in front of your yard and chickens running around, nasty-looking old half-dressed kids playing out there in the dirt everywhere.
Is this some kind of joke?
No, it ain't no joke. We're going to be there about 8 o'clock in the morning, so you just need to go spend the day somewhere else. We'll be through by about 7, 8 o'clock tomorrow night, and you ain't going to recognize the place. We even going to clean up your yard and haul off all that junk you got piled up around there.
Did you hear me? Do not come here. I'll call the law.
Speaking of the law, your neighbor said if y'all didn't get this mess cleaned up, they was going to call the law themselves.
Listen, you if you show up over here, you're going to be sorry.
We're going to see you in the morning.
All right, that was Willie P. Richardson. And, man, I'm sure you guys like him. I mean, who doesn't like that guy? He's hilarious. But let's hope you enjoyed it, and let's get back to our subject.
Who did this terrorist work with within our government or within our country? Who's the organization truly behind this?
Well, that's a good question. Thankfully, all of the professional websites that I've referenced so far, they're not even speculating on that at all, which I think is correct. You really need to take it one step at a time. You just need to realize that it didn't happen the way that it was reported to happen. Then you need to have an official investigation. Part of that official investigation has already occurred by the 1,800-plus architects and engineers that have supported the architects and engineers from 9/11 Truth effort. Like I said, their analysis and their test, they've already done part of that investigation. But anyway, we know that it didn't happen the way that it was reported to happen. We know that there was intent to bring down the buildings just because of the way that they fell, the way it's been. We can prove that it was a controlled demolition. So we know that there was intent to bring the buildings down outside of the hitting the buildings with the planes. You know, the thing is the next step would be to have the official investigation look into this. Now, part of that investigation, or perhaps it might be a twofold investigation. One investigation is to actually prove to the world that the buildings were brought down as controlled demolition. The other part would be to investigate a criminal investigation into who was responsible for it. Now, there again, there's a lot of speculation out there, and there is a lot of suspicious activity, suspicious associations. You know, but really, that's probably best not to do that, because people who are not on board with the 9/11 Truth movement, that's the one thing that they, you know, tend to fire back on is, how can you say our government did this, and how can you prove that our government did this and stuff? So, but I think the best thing to do is to not even speculate on that right now. I think most people would be surprised at the circumstantial evidence or circumstantial associations. And also the motives. And one of the things that I'll go ahead and mention, I wish that people would become aware of, and that is the Project for the New American Century. And that is supposedly a think tank that was organized back in the 90s, and they developed several studies and plans for America in the new century, or the centuries ahead.
Actually, the website is www.newamericancentury.org, newamericancentury.org. And, you know, the whole document here is good, but what you really want to read is, it's under the reports tab on the main page. Select that, and the last report on that page, which was published in 2000, is called Rebuilding America's Defenses, the Strategy, Forces, and Resources for a New Century. And really, with inside of there, you really want to read Chapter 5. Well, you really want to read all of them, but Chapter 5 is very interesting. It's called Creating Tomorrow's Dominant Force. Starts on page 50. Take a look at that. I think you'll find it pretty interesting. And just note that this report was issued in the year 2000, so it was probably conceptualized and assembled, I'm going to assume, over the course of 1 to 2 years. Anyway, makes for good reading.
I'll tell you what, I will post a link to that. Let's see, I can't remember how long it is. If it's not too long, I'll go ahead and post the content on the website. Otherwise, if it's too long, I'll post a link to it. But in that Project for New American Century, that particular study I'm talking about, it refers to a lot of things that would alarm people about how this country is going to be governed, and perhaps even how the world is going to be governed, and not only the desire that how they want it to be governed, but also the plan of how to get from here to there.
This event happened one way when actually it happened another way with different people involved in secrecy. That suggests that it will very well happen in other cities.
Yes. More and more people are coming aware. It's exactly why I'm here. It was about 3.5 years ago. I had no reason to question it. Kind of thought something was a little fishy about it, but I started reading things and forming questions in my head and going seeking the answers. And a lot of other people are doing it as well. So it's growing right now. So what's happening is the government is losing our support. They're questioning whether there really is terrorists, okay? The government, they're going to recognize that. They're going to realize that they need to pull the people back on their side. So I would be very concerned that there will be another terrorist attack sometime. Some of the other curious things that people need to look into is, we went into we declared a war on terrorism. Now, the war on terrorism, people need to look in that too as well. This is going to be a different podcast, but you have to realize this. The war on terrorism is a never-ending war. There is no enemy. There is no set enemy. It goes on forever. There is no end to the war on terror. That's going to be the subject of another podcast. But just to kind of give you something else to think about along those lines, when we go into a country like Iraq, and you read about how bad Saddam Hussein is, and I'm not saying that he was any kind of an angel or anything, but look into the relationship of Saddam Hussein and the U.S. government. Saddam Hussein has always been a friend to the U.S. government, perhaps not in front of the people, but behind the lines, and this is very easy to find out. He was always a friend. Saddam Hussein, when they invaded Kuwait, the reason they invaded Kuwait was Kuwait was actually drilling for oil. They were drilling at an angle. They were actually drilling into Iraqi oil deposits. Now, this is the premise. This is what the Iraqis are telling us. And actually, we did. The Americans agreed that this was happening. Saddam Hussein wanted to invade Kuwait. Well, what he did, and this is what pretty much any other country in the world would do, is he essentially asked for permission to do that from the United States. There's a memo out there, and like I say, I can post this on the website because it's not that long. Actually, this memo is in the huge WikiLeaks U.S. government memos that were released. It was actually in there. Saddam Hussein requested permission, or he requested that he be allowed to go into Kuwait and that the U.S. would okay it and would not interfere. We replied, that's okay. All right. Of course, he did, and we didn't. We immediately jumped on him. So, like I said, I'm not saying he was an angel by any means. I'm not saying that he didn't deserve to be taken out of power. I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is what you were told is not true. You don't know the whole story. What you need to do is find out the whole story, and then in your mind go on like, now why in the hell would they lie to us? Why are they lying to us? That should get you motivated a little bit, to look into and to always questioning your government. That's going to be subject for another podcast, so I know I'm kind of ranting on that one.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here and leave you with another song. But before we do, I'd like to go ahead and just dedicate this song to someone. There's a really nice person that I've come to meet on some social networks out on the internet. And, you meet those people that always put a smile on your face. They're always in a good mood. Well, she's that kind of a person. And, a lot of times when we meet those kind of people that we think that they're always happy and that they never need that the same kind of reaction back. They never need those constant smiles and little pick-me-ups coming back their way. But everybody does. So, this song is going to go out to Chrisandra, or as we call her, Chris. And I know Chris has had some tough days in the past year or so. And she's starting a new life out on the West Coast. So this goes out to her and her friend Jerry. Hope you guys like it. This is a song it's actually an old song by Joni Mitchell. And she re-recorded it or remastered it back in 2004. It's off her album Dreamland. And the name of the song is Both Sides Now.
Rose and flows of angel hair, and ice cream castles in the air, and feather canyons everywhere. Looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and they snow on everyone. So many things I would have done, but clouds got in my way. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's cloud illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds. Moons and Junes and fairies wheels, the dizzy dancing whale that you feel, as every fairy tale comes through. I've looked at love that way, but now it's just another show. And you leave them laughing when you go. And if you can, don't let them know. Don't give yourself away. I've looked at love from both sides now, from give and take. Love's illusions that I recall. I really don't know. I really don't know love at all. Say I love you right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds. I've looked at life that way. Oh, but now, old friends, they're acting strange. And they shake their heads and they tell me that I've changed. Something's lost, but something's gained in living every day. I've looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow it's life's illusions I recall. I really don't know life at all. It's life's illusions that I recall. I really don't know life. I really